This is 91.7 WVXU, Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Moving from their teen years into adulthood is a big step for all kids, but those with emotional or behavioral problems can have an even bigger transition time. We're going to talk about a couple of programs that can help. Then later in the hour, we'll talk about some of the mental issues affecting children, such as depression, anxiety disorder, and ADHD. But first, joining me to talk about helping the transition to adulthood, our Journey to Successful Living Project Director with the Hamilton County Mental Health and Recovery Services, Carolyn Jones, Community Support Services Manager for the Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health Services Transition to Independence Program, Jennifer Dorschrug, and Sarah, who is participating in the Journey Program. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi.
Certainly glad to have you all here. I'd like to start out just briefly talking about some of the concerns, some of the issues that come up as teens are working their way into adulthood. And Carolyn, we'll start with you.
Thank you. Well, the young people who are served through the Journey program often come to us with a number of challenges, and such as not being able to support themselves or have strong independent living skills that help prepare them for adulthood. Oftentimes they come having experienced significant problems in their education. So oftentimes they drop out of school. A higher percentage of kids who come to us for services are involved in criminal activity, more so than the average. And a multitude of other problems, significant substance abuse and a number of other environmental issues. So they come into the Journey to Successful program seeking mental health treatment and supports. And what we do is to try to help them prepare to become successful adults.
Jennifer?
Yes. What my programs do, we use evidence-based practices, the TIP model, which is Transition into Independence Process. And basically what we do is we coach youth and help them problem solve different areas of life to be more successful, such as housing, their mental health, physical health, employment, education, all those areas. So that could be anything from learning about their diagnosis, medication, to getting that first apartment, and even how to cook a chicken, really.
A little bit of everything. Sarah, tell us what brought you to the program.
Well, I started when I was about a sophomore or junior in high school. I came in after some things that came on with my life in general. Things were getting really difficult with my schooling. I was severely harassed in high school and just with my mental health, and things really were getting struggling, and I got referenced to Camelot program first, and then I actually got referenced to Journey. So this has been my third year with them on their five-year grant, so I've just been working with them for that long.
What kind of things are they helping you with?
Well, they started off with just me being able to, like, walk into the school without freaking out about with my anxiety and my depression. So I'd go in there, they'd give me confidence and I boost myself, and then it would soon go into me being able to get to college and being able to do my function with my grades and getting a job. They helped me find a job, do my application process.
And you're in college now.
Yes, I'm a freshman.
And working. You were telling us before the show started, you've got a couple of different jobs, so you are certainly a functioning member of society.
Oh, yeah. Unlike some people would say.
Well, talk about a little bit, and maybe Carolyn start here. Some of the things you talk about, one gets that kind of help from their parents. Are parents not as often involved with their kids if they have these issues, or do they just need more help beyond what the parents can give?
Well, I would say that parents are involved. I mean, you know, at a young age, as kids are growing up, of course, they have the family as their primary support group. But as they age out, I think the family role changes. And so just like any of us, as we start to mature and get older, we're starting to learn more independent living skills. And many of us have had the support of our families to help us along that process. In some cases, I think it's having mental health challenges presents another dynamic in terms of problems with family groups, because the family is oftentimes stressed about helping that young person deal with their mental health challenges. But what we do in Journey is really try to envelop the entire family group to provide support and services as it's needed for the family. But we also try to make sure that as the youth goes through this developmental process, that we educate the families about how their role changes and how to better support the young person as they age out.
Yeah, especially with that, me being 19 going on 20 in July, it was really difficult. My dad taught me all these things, but just putting them all together and understanding how they all coincide with each other was really difficult. And with the help of Journey, they were able to tell me, okay, you know how to do this, you know how to do this, just put it all together and you'll be able to do it just fine, even though you might think, I can't do this, I can't do this. I was just dropped off when I was 18. I wasn't able to do things yesterday. Now I can do all these things that just been dropped into my lap today, like I just gained all this knowledge.
Do you meet with folks regularly? Do you live within the program? How does that work?
I work with, for me, in my case specifically, I work with my worker every week. I see her every week, and then she'll ask me what I need to do. The thing about our program is family-guided, youth-driven. So the thing is, I get to choose everything that I need to do, but my family can help me they can guide me and show me what I need to do, but it's ultimately my choice.
Your family's involved too, though?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My father is involved with me, so I make all the decisions myself, but they all can like give me suggestions and stuff like that, but in the end, it's all me.
Jennifer, what about your program? Parents involved?
Yes, they are involved in, she said it so wonderfully, is that you're really working to get everybody strength-based and on board with the tools that the youth has already inside themselves and helping them access that and use that on a daily basis, problem solving, even learning to compromise, negotiate, plan for the future and think about how what they're doing today or what they might do tomorrow, how that affects their goals for the future.
We're talking this afternoon about mental teens with mental health issues moving on to adulthood and how to help them make that transition smoothly. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, it's 513-419-7100. So as we talk a lot about the parents, and we're certainly getting Sarah's side from the teen to adult status, what should parents do in a situation like this? Should they get involved if they think their child needs help? Do they contact you? How were those initial contacts made?
Absolutely. One of the things that I, as Sarah alluded to, we operate around a core value of services and supports being youth-driven and family-guided. It's very important for families to become educated about their child's mental health needs, and being a part of their treatment regime helps them to become more educated and more aware of what their role is and how to support that young person. And Journey does, in fact, offer a family, has a family component that provides a family support group. It provides opportunities for them to give feedback and serve in an advisory component. And we encourage this. We do various training, have various training opportunities to support families becoming stronger and more aware of the needs of their child as they mature and age out.
Yes, and our programs, we offer guided mediation with families if there are issues, and also coaching to parents on how to solve day-to-day problems. And again, working with the youth as well as to how to solve conflicts within the family, and kind of if there's been bridges burned within the family, kind of reconnecting with people as well.
Your goal is to work with youth who have emotional or behavioral problems. What are some of the issues, the concerns that the youth bring?
Well, they bring a multitude of problems. All of the youth who are served through Journey have multiple issues where they sometimes are involved with other public systems. For example, almost, I would say, about 95% of our youth in school, exhibit some level of dysfunction in school, and oftentimes they drop out or they just don't go. Some of them are involved in child welfare. A number of our kids get involved in juvenile justice and sometimes even the adult systems. And so they bring to us a multitude of environmental problems. In addition to the psychiatric component that needs to be stabilized in order to help them with the other things. In addition to that, oftentimes the young people come to us with no preparation around life skills. You know, they don't know how to take the bus or budget money. And time frame wise, you know, these things have to start very early in life in order for them to achieve the level of success that's needed. And so we work with them not only in stabilizing their mental health treatment, helping to support their needs around the multi-system involvement, but also to teach them practical living skills.
Yeah, definitely with that. I know when I started, I just didn't know what to do, and I almost dropped out of high school, even in my last 3 months of high school. So with Journey, they were able to teach me all the things I need to do, because before I'd started Journey, I didn't know how to apply for a job. I didn't know how to pretty much work for myself, even though I was a very independent person. I like to do things on my own, but I didn't know how to start them.
How did you get connected with Journey?
I came in through the JFS system. So I came in through that, and then it just kind of grew from there. And I actually was referred to a different program before I came to Journey.
And JFS is child welfare. The child welfare system.
You mentioned that it's a 5-year program. How does that work?
It's actually a 6-year program, but okay. I think it's a 6-year grant. We are funded by we're a program of the Hamilton County Mental Health and Recovery Services Board, funded by the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration. The first year of the grant was planning, and then we've had 4 years of services, actually. So we're in year 5 of a 6-year grant.
So, and then what happens to Journey after the 6 years?
Well, we are in the planning process now to sustain services. So we have an infrastructure in place that would allow us to continue with the services that are currently being offered and building the supports around that.
Now, how long can the youth stay with the program?
This is a little bit different, and Jen is smiling because we've had conversation about this. Traditional services, usually an average length of stay is about 12 months. But when you're working with transition age youth, you really have to make it a little more individualized. It's individualized and strength-based, so young people can stay involved with the program until they reach their treatment goals, which could vary individually. And in Sarah's case, for example, she said she's been in the program 3 years. Well, you know, we want to make sure that she reaches some of her goals, like in school and that kind of thing, and get stability around that for a period of time. And then she with her team will make a decision about when that's appropriate.
Jennifer, your program?
Yes, we kind of follow the same guidelines in that. And what I really like as a service provider is that, you know, the relationship that's built with the youth. And I've had youth in the Journey program say that to me time and time again, in that we are trying to keep youth in mental health services so they don't slip through the cracks. And so we can really help, again, that stability in making them successful adults.
As you're all... we talk a lot about parents and the role of parents. What about teachers? And you say through the JFS services you were referred, but do teachers also help to refer students? What role do teachers
Absolutely.
Play?
Absolutely. We have a number of partnerships with the school systems. First of all, Cincinnati Public School, because the majority of our kids are in Cincinnati Public Schools, so we are very involved with their special education department. We link through the resource coordinators and the transition coordinators that operate in the school. Teachers often identify through their IEP processes, and they can refer, they have a direct connection and can refer the young person to services through our mental health access point.
IEP, individual education
plan. Yes, exactly.
And so a number of students have those to help
A number of students have that. Yes.
What about teachers refer with you also?
Yes, actually, we get our referrals through the Journey system of care as well, through multiple providers. And it's really great because everybody comes to the table for the youth, all the different systems. That could be the education system, the juvenile court system, sometimes the adult court system as well, developmental disabilities, substance abuse treatment. It's really about bringing all of the service providers together with the youth.
Yes, that's why it's called a system of care, because it really is a coordinated network that responds. It kind of envelops the youth and the family in a coordinated effort. And so everybody's on the same page, working for the same goals as decided by the youth and their families.
And I know with me personally, I mostly worked with my school psychologist because unfortunately I wasn't in a Cincinnati public school. So my school psychologist was very into it. I was very connected with her and she was able to keep me in track when I was in school. And then when I was out of school, I was able to talk with my mentors.
So we're talking about students with emotional or behavioral problems, young people with emotional behavioral problems and their transition from the teen years to adulthood. My guests today are, well, let me see here, Hamilton County Mental Health Project, Journey to Successful Living Project Director with the Hamilton County Mental Health and Recovery Services, Carolyn Jones, that's a long one, a Community Service Support Services Manager for the Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health Services Transition to Independence Program, Jennifer Dorschrug, and Sarah, she's participating in the Journey Program. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. 513-419-7100, or you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. As you're all working together and trying to help folks out, you've talked a lot about getting them in school and learning a checkbook and all those sorts of things. I understand in some cases you're dealing with some youth who are homeless. Is that true?
That is true.
And yes. That, I imagine, has its own difficulties.
It does. And even youth and homelessness, it looks different than when you're dealing with somebody with adult homelessness. A lot of times they will work within their friend networks. We call it couch surfing, actually. It's a different friend every night. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. They don't typically like to access the shelter system for the most part. So it's even difficult to kind of see who's homeless sometimes.
Do you find that often, you get to 17 and just before you turn 18 and things are taken care of and then 18 hits and then everything sort of falls apart? Is that where this is coming from?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sarah, what happened for you?
Well, when I turned 18, like I said before, it just kind of like all these responsibilities that for some reason this one night, though that's sleeping in that one night and waking up in the next morning, you're like have all these responsibilities. I had to apply for my own insurance. I had to apply for so many different things on my own. Whereas when you're 18, you have to kind of like they want you to like leave the nest right when you turn 18. And it's challenging. It's like you gain all these things. And I had to I know I would have been really stressed out without having a mentor being able to sit me down and go, relax. Mm-hmm. You have a little bit of time. Just go ahead and work it out one by one rather than trying to figure it out all at once.
So you didn't find that the day you turned 18, you didn't have a place to live anymore, did you?
Yes, I didn't I didn't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness with that one. Where I have had some points where it almost felt like I was at that point, but not with the Journey program. That was with the program I was with originally.
Again, our number is 513-419-7100. Mark's calling from Clifton. Hi, Mark. What's your question?
I wanted to know what it is that you should do if you feel like your child has already slipped through the cracks, as it were. These support systems you're talking about weren't around not that long ago. And I was curious what advice you'd give to someone with a child who had a mental disorder and suffered through school and has suffered through life and has had difficulties now and just looking to try to figure out how to still fit into life.
This is Carolyn Jones. I'm asking a question. Are you actually asking a question about how to access services? Or I'm just trying to understand the context of the question. Are you seeking services?
I suppose my question would be for people who do slip through the cracks, are there still ways for them to be able to try to is it too late for somebody who's an adult to have a mentor, as it were? You know, I mean, are there services that you're talking about that are available for adults that are in a similar way to help them, you know, try to connect with society?
Yes, there are services that where an adult person who has historically maybe had some issues of falling through the cracks, they can still reconnect to services. And in regard to the mentor, mentor is a term that's used in the mental health system. There is therapeutic mentoring, which is offered mainly for children. I don't think that there's an adult mentor program in the adult system, and Jennifer maybe can respond better to that. However, I would say that the first step is really reconnecting with the system and talking to the front door of the system, mental health access point, to see what might be available for that individual.
Jennifer?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Jennifer, did you want to add something?
Actually, I was just going to say the same. There's a multitude of adult services out there that do similar types of coaching that our programs do. Ours are just geared more specifically towards young adults, but there are adult programs.
Now, do your programs also continue to help with any mental health issues or behavioral concerns
yes.
as they go through it?
Yes,
absolutely.
And how does that work?
Well, we work, again, we educate the youth on their mental health diagnosis, medications that might be monitoring of medications. We connect to psychiatry and often collaborate closely with that person and with counseling as well.
So there's a variety of services then available.
There is a full range of services that include case management. Well, Jennifer named those, but, you know, there's housing services and supports, and all of these services extend beyond the age of 21. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're talking specifically about this program, but we have services that extend beyond age 21, and they're very comprehensive in nature. It just depends on what an individual needs at that time.
If a parent recognizes that there is an issue and they want to try to get their child, their son, their daughter, some help, do you find that if they get them into one of these programs, the child is going to react better to somebody besides their parents telling them this stuff? Or is that part of it? I mean, I know my daughter will listen to the neighbor and I tell the same thing. And, you know, my 11-year-old will decide that's, you know, mom said it can't be right, you know.
I've found both in my experience, to be honest. And we as service providers kind of tend to work with where the youth is at, what's their readiness for change, and kind of try to see things from their perspective and get their opinions. So that often helps the process a little bit more so.
And I feel like it's all situational in a way, because I know with me personally, I was just outright told by somebody I didn't even know. And it's like, I got really defensive and it's like, what do I even do? But then, you know, it's just kind of like realization of your own self. It's not who says it. It's kind of like if you get to the point yourself where it's like, I really want to make something better of myself.
So did you said you have a relationship with your father. Did he try to tell you some of these things and it was
with
easy?
My mental health? No, but he was always there for me, like trying to help me figure out how to become an adult. He was very good at teaching me how to become an adult, but just putting it all together, it's just kind of like that, you know, father-daughter kind of barrier where it's like different, whereas of other people's.
Is it possible, and maybe I'm just, I really don't know, with people with mental health and behavioral issues, that they perhaps have a better, more of a need to get that sort of help? Are there other barriers in the way that someone without those kinds of issues would have trying to move into adulthood? Because it's a hard transition for everybody. But what do those particular cases, does that make it more difficult?
I would say, you know, for the young people I'm working with, is that things are just a little haywire, and more so than the typical average young adult. Mood disorders, that ability to plan for the future, those are more impacted by mood disorders or even psychiatric symptoms as well. Stigma, how other people feel about them having a mental health disorder, how to communicate that to an employer, how to communicate that to schools, how to really be your own advocate because they have to. Whereas your typical young adult might not have something like that where it does need to be communicated to other people in their lives.
I'd have to definitely say that it can be a little bit more difficult. I mean, everybody's different in their own way, but I know with me personally, it was more difficult because not only was I dealing with myself trying to beg myself better, but I also had other people putting the stigma on me and judging me, where I even had the point where two of my roommates in high school moved out because of my mental disorders. They just downright just said, we can't live with someone with a mental disorder, and left. So if you have those people, you have many of other people in this world who find people with mental disorders as a skull and crossbone.
Now, people think often of roommates as college. You had roommates in high school? You were living
college. This was my...
Oh, this is college. Okay.
Yes. I just finished my first year, and that was when I was living on campus.
So did you find support at the college, the university?
Yes. The college is very open with this kind of stuff. They have their own group with there, and I've been contacting with them along with my mentors, and we've all linked up together to make this big umbrella.
Is it true, though, that people sort of link together, perhaps, and would it make, I don't even know if this is it even a concern when they're placing roommates together, whether one has mental illness or another? Is that even a discussion point?
It shouldn't be, because I'm a perfectly functioning human being. I would have to say I'm more put together than a lot of people that I know, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, it's not something that it should really be stated. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, some people's are more severe, but I feel like we're all just in one way or another humans, and it's not like we can go around asking these things. It's just an invasion of privacy.
You've talked you said you feel that you've really come a long way with the program so far. How do you feel about the time comes that you will be no longer in the program? I mean, do you feel like you'll have the skills ready to be on your
own? I'll definitely have the skills, but I definitely do want to stick with the program to help the people coming in, because I feel so strongly about it. I want to be able to volunteer and help with the people coming in.
Have you been a mentor for any of them? Do you talk to others?
I talk with some of the people, yes, and I do like to communicate and enlighten them, because some people, it's just kind of like a big group kind of thing. We all have our own challenges. Someone's having this challenge when I already know how to do it and I can help them. We're just one big family.
We offer a youth advisory, a youth action council. And we probably have 10 to 15 core, there's a core group of about 10 to 15 youth that meet on a monthly basis and address issues and do various activities. And we do this as part of the program to help them develop their leadership skills. And Sarah has been one of those persons who came up through the ranks, and she and her dad participated. And you can see the growth over time and how her dad has been able to let go a little bit, and how she's come in and talked with the other young people and shared her experience and helped guide them. So it's been a wonderful process.
Well, you said something very interesting there. Her dad learned to let go. Is it very difficult for the parents to sort of...
Oh, yes.
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 Let
yes.
them be adults?
Yeah, and I think that's normal for anybody turning 18. I remember my own father having that problem with me in college, and that, it is a process and a transition, and we help them through that, too.
Well, thank you both, all three of you, for being here today. We certainly appreciate it, and thank you for your time. And we do want to say we do have links on our website with information and details about the programs. And if anybody has any information that they need, you can find the links there. We've been talking about the transition to adulthood for people with emotional or behavioral problems. My guests were Journey to Successful Living Project Director with Hamilton County Mental Health and Recovery Services, Carolyn Jones, Community Support Services Manager for the Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health Services Transition to Independence Program, Jennifer Dorshug, and Sarah. She's participating in the Journey program. In just a moment, we'll talk about some of the mental issues affecting children.